This is a download from the Scottish Railway Preservation Society.
Just putting some lights on the engine now. We've got two lights showing it's a passenger train.
This is Soundbox, a magazine for railway enthusiasts around the world, coming to you from Bowness in Scotland.
Hello, and welcome to this, the 17th edition of Soundblast, the Scottish Railway Preservation Society's download, the totally non-visual magazine. I'm Sandy Simpson, and I'm right here in our studio with the indefatigable David, by the way, the editor, producer, and roving reporter for Soundblast. In this edition, we'll be going behind the scenes as the cinema film unit uses Bowness as a backdrop to The Railwayman, and find out about the contribution younger members of the society are making. But first, can you recognise which engine is sounding off? Yes, that's the sound of Murrayshire back in steam. If you are a regular listener, you will know that we have been covering how the Class D49 loco was lifted off her wheels so that they could be retired, and then, at the end of 2011, was reconnected with the wheelset. But there was a lot of other work involved as well, and there was a race to get the engine ready in time to star in a film which was being shot at Bowness. With the deadline for the film job fast approaching, David, by the way, dropped in to the engine shed where Jim Verth brought him up to date with the work.
Well, I'm back now to see Murrayshire. Jim, the last time that we saw Murrayshire, she was being put back on her wheels, and looked quite a complicated job there. The wheels had been away for retiring. Now, what's been happening since?
Well, it's been the work of assembling the engine and putting all the bits back on that we took off. As well as doing that, we've also been doing other repairs to the regulator, which was quite tight. We've got that freed off and reset. We've had a chap come to help us do the timing, so the timing's all being redone and adjusted, so we're hoping that'll be better. And today we're doing a steam test on site, and if we're happy with it today, then we'll get a boiler inspector back next week, and he'll do part two of the steam test. He's done part one, and then that would be the engine returned to service.
Sounds quite complicated, putting all the bits back together again.
Well, it's not, actually. And in fact, very often the way it's designed, it's quite difficult to put them back on in the wrong way, because they've been designed that way to stop that happening. What it's actually been about is more about finding all the bits and then working out the right order so that you didn't put three bits on that you had to then take off to put the next bit back on again. So ordering the assembly has been quite interesting. And then finding all the bits. And we lost a bit last Monday, which was a bit frustrating, but we found it on Wednesday, so that was all right.
Where was it?
It was lying on the bench, and I think 100 people must have looked at it and just not seen it, but we found it on Wednesday.
Now, what's the steam test for those of us who
don't know? Well, the boiler is certificated by an insurance company. We get a boiler ticket for 10 years, but every year, it's actually every 14 months, the boiler inspector has to come and see the boiler stripped down with mud hole doors out, fusible plugs out, so that he can look into the inside of the boiler, and that's called part one of the inspection, the cold inspection. And he uses ultrasound and mirrors and lamps and stuff to do that. And then within a set period, he has to come back and see it in steam, and see the things like the safety valves working, make sure the gauge glasses work, and then he'll sign it off for another 14 months of operation.
So what stage are we at just now?
This is us doing our final test. We can't run it, we can't operate it without a certificate, so we couldn't use it on service today, for example. But we're going to crank it up, we've tightened up everything, we're looking for leaks. There are one or two little things that we've seen that we're making notes about. It'll go up to 180, we'll set the safety valves, we might move it up and down just to make sure she's free, and then shut it down again, and I'll phone Derek on Monday and get him to come out one day next week. It's just a matter of then brewing it up for him and letting him see it and let him be satisfied. We like to make sure the boiler's well presented, and we don't want him to come and find an obvious fault. So he understands that we will test it in this way, not operate it. He'll come and look at it, and then that'll be it. Of course, back into service.
Of course, there's an important date for this engine, isn't there?
Well, she's to be used in a filming job that's coming up in a couple of weeks' time, so there's been a real push on to get it done for that, because obviously it could earn us money. So touch wood that it's all okay for that. But we've got, if there's anything this weekend, we've got the next weekend to try and fix that, and then the filming comes after that. And then there'll be a period of running in. We won't want it to go straight back into service. Particularly, I wouldn't want it to go up to manual and use the West End point until the point's been repaired. We're redoing that point because it's quite tight. And the effect of having the axle boxes done and the axles all reground and everything is that she's much tighter than she was before. So that's quite a tight curve for her. So I'd rather wait until that point is eased and then run it round slowly a couple of times. And then...
But after the work you've done here, how long is she...
Well, the boiler will have to come out in 2015. Mm-hmm. We've managed to get an extension for it, partly because it's been out of service. But 2015, and then the boiler will have to come out and be all stripped down and all the tubes taken out and the flues taken out and everything.
You're looking forward to that, are you?
No, I'm not, no. But the fact that we've done so much work in this last year, I mean, we didn't think it would take us a year, to be honest. It's taken us well over a year to do a job that we thought might have taken us 6 months. Although, to be fair, we've done a lot more than we thought we were going to do.
And the good news was that the Shire passed part two of the boiler exam and got her ticket. The following weekend, the Shire did a running in trip to Burke Hill with a guards van in tow. It was a splendid run with no major problems. Meanwhile, the SRPS Civils Gang, the Permanent Way Maintenance Squad, have been working hard in all weather conditions to relay the West End set of points at Manual Junction. But all eyes were on the other end of the line, back at Bowness Station, where the clock was turned back for location shots for The Railway Man, which stars Oscar winners Colin Firth, Nicole Kidman, and fast-rising Jeremy Irvine. The film is adapted from Eric Lomax's best-selling book, The Railway Man, the epic true story of a war hero and the woman who matched his courage to reclaim the man she loved. Andy Patterson, one of the producers, told us about the real Railway Man. And if you hear footsteps in the background of the early part of this interview, that's Nicole Kidman. And that's the closest Soundblast came to interviewing a superstar. But the film is very moving, as the producer, Andy Patterson, told us.
We've been trying to make The Railway Man for a very long time. It's Eric Lomax's story. That's a wonderful book that he wrote, charting his experiences on the building of the Burma Siam Railway back in 1942 and 43. We have brought along a few people like Colin Firth and Nicole Kidman to shoot some very crucial sequences here at Bowness. Just today, we're just shooting a moment earlier on in the film and late in the film when Nicole is very worried about her husband. I should use the names from the film, really. Patty is really concerned about Eric Lomax, and she's been trying to sort some things out. The film starts in 1942, when Eric Lomax, who lives in Berwick-upon-Tweed, was sent off to Singapore just in time for the end of the British Empire, when Singapore fell, and hundreds of thousands of men were captured, sent off to the building of that railway, which... as I'm sure most people know, was the last link from Japan through to India. And it was a railway which the British had tried to make many times before and had decided it was just going to be too difficult to make. The loss of life involved in carving a track through that jungle and through those mountains from Thailand into Burma would just involve a loss of life that would be too great, with disease, with just the sheer difficulty. But when the Japanese found themselves with these hundreds of thousands of surrendered men, they decided that they were going to use those men to make that final link, to try and avoid having to use the Navy to link them across to India during the war. Mm-hmm. So Eric found himself shipped up there with a lot of other people. What he saw there was pretty horrific. I mean, the movie begins with a place called Hellfire Pass, which is one of the biggest cuttings that had to be made on that railway. And of course this was being done by the good old-fashioned hammer and tap. Mm-hmm. A lot of men with hammers and staves drilling into hard limestone and building these cuttings. What Eric did, he was a huge railway enthusiast. It was great irony of his life that he knew everything about railways. He was one of the few people there who really knew what was going on, because he sort of had the history in his head that, of knowing that, that this bit of railway had been abandoned. And there's a scene early in the film where he really does a sort of great Railway Journeys of the World speech to all the men, where he seems to be just explaining about this line, but what he's really doing is saying, if they're building this line, we're all going to die, because we knew why they didn't build this line before. And what he does, he's also a signals guy, and he built radios, like a lot of people did. And what those radios did was to bring hope. They brought news from the outside world that all those people who were being worked to death, starved to death building this railway, brought hope that the war was turning, that there might be an end to this, and just gave men a reason to survive. And for his troubles, when the Japanese found this radio, he was very, very badly beaten and then interrogated and tortured, and left, like so many men, very, very messed up for decades after the war. What he remembered was a young Japanese guy who was about his own age, who was the interpreter during those interrogations. He always said that he could sort of ignore the thugs who did the beatings and sort of treat them as not human beings. But this little man who did the interpreting was clearly an intelligent man, and it was his face that haunted him for decades afterwards. And during those decades, he travelled around the country. He went off in the colonial service for a while. Then when he came back, he would travel around collecting railway memorabilia. I think somehow always hoping he would find some clue to what really happened back then, how they found the radios, who this little man was. And then one day, 30 years later, he got on a train and sat opposite a beautiful woman who made him laugh for the first time in a very long time.
Nice. And that beautiful woman was Nicole Kidman. You may have seen pictures of her getting on the train on the set at Bowness. Colin Firth was also on set. Andy told the newspaper that he whooped for joy when he learned that Colin Firth was to play the part of the Burma Railway of Death veteran, Eric Lomax. Bowness was used for the scene when the two first meet on a station platform somewhere in Britain after the war. Andy Patterson again.
Well, we need period trains. The film's set in 45 and when he comes home, and in sort of the early 80s. So we need trains that that suit those periods. And what we'll be doing tomorrow is shooting the big scene where he first meets that woman on the train, because she's the woman who then has the strength to try and find out what's wrong with him. And through all that, discovers actually that interpreter's still alive.
So how complicated is it to use a train in a film set?
It's almost impossible to make a film in a working station, because what we need to do, we have to shoot things again and again from different angles. Trains have to move out, reverse back in again. All kinds of stuff that would drive the signals guys in a working station completely mad. So to have a facility like Bowness where we can keep the trains very much under our own control and have enthusiasts who are very happy to take the train out of the station, reverse it back in again, do all the things that we need to do. And then actually also what we'll be doing is for big dialogue scenes using a static train, and we put green screens outside the window, and then we can put the actual sort of moving landscape in later digitally in the computer, which makes life much easier.
But you don't just turn up on one day and do all this. There's quite a bit of preparation, isn't there?
Yeah, we spend months scouting around for locations and then finding the places that seem to be workable. And then there's a lot of planning with the people here at Bowness. Yesterday we were at Perth Station. Just getting all the logistics sorted out and getting everybody enthusiastic about what we're trying to do.
And how many minutes of film time will there be at the end of it all?
Well, we tend to average about 2 minutes a day, which may seem a very small amount. But that's because when you see the film, you shoot all the different angles, and then you do things, many, many takes. It takes a long time to set up all the shots. So 2 minutes a day is actually pretty good going. If you imagine that some of the big Hollywood films maybe take 6 months to shoot, and they're still only 2 hours long, they're probably doing 30 or 40 seconds a day.
And are you happy with what you've got at Bo'ness?
Bo'ness have been incredibly cooperative. The trains are great, and it's really been a great experience.
And we're pleased to see that Murray Shire performed well enough in her starring role, all of half an hour, in a full day of standing by. Still, as John Milton wrote, they also serve who only stand and wait. And still on the subject of films made at Bo'ness, can you name this production and the local?
Turning over and cue the train.
That was running, running.
Shunt, as a driver, on you go, coming to the station as fast as possible, over.
The local was 37175, doing a run-through at Birkhill Station for a scene for the film The Angel Share, which is back in the news because Ken Loach's latest production was very well received at the Cannes Film Festival. Now, Thomas the Tank Engine is a great favourite with children, and grew more popular after Reverend Wilbert Vere Audrey's stories were made into television films. The Day Out with Thomas events, which the Society stages, attract hundreds of families to Bo'ness. But there's a great deal of work to get everything ready, and this is where the younger members of the Society really come into their own.
I'm Andrew Morley. I'm one of the volunteers here at the railway. I've been a volunteer since about 2006. I'm also one of the firemen. But today I'm looking after some of the youngsters from our youth group, which has just been running for a few months, and we've been detailed today to have a wee bit of a clean on number one ahead of the Thomas weekend next weekend, to make sure he's looking absolutely in tip-top condition for all the visitors. So far this morning we've had a bit of a safety briefing, trying to just introduce some basic safety rules to the youngsters about how to work on and near the running lines, and also in terms of using things like paraffin to clean the engines, to make sure they've got protective gloves, etc., to stop any of it getting on their skin. At the moment they're just getting set up, getting some of the cleaning fluid poured out into some pots, making sure they've got their protective gloves and ready to get going and have a good old clean of number one.
Now, maybe I can have a word with some of the squad here. Can I ask your name, please?
My name's Ryan.
And how old are you?
I'm 13.
So why did you decide to come along here and spend your time here?
Well, I'm really into steam and diesel and how they work.
Okay, what about you? What's your names?
My name's Robert.
And why come down here?
Because I really enjoy the railways and everything about them, really.
But you're looking the part here, aren't you? Got your day-glow overalls on so everybody can see you nice and safe. And what about getting inside the engines and cleaning them and that sort of stuff?
I love it. Yeah,
you
it's
love
good.
It? Okay, who else have we got here? What's your name?
My name's Liam.
Liam, why are you here today?
Because I love, like, trains and stuff.
What are you going to do when you're bigger, when you've left school? Are you going to work on the railways, or are you going to...
I'm going to work on the railways, being like a train driver.
Hi, my name's Hector. I just come here because I just really like doing this sort of thing. And I've only been here for like a month or something, or a few months. And because it starts at 12 and I've just turned 12, so yeah.
My name's Heather. I joined because my friend was going on about it and it sounded really good, but so I've never quit since, and I've been down like every week.
You're the only girl here, aren't you?
Yeah.
How do the guys treat you? How do the boys treat you?
Treat me as just like just a normal person, like we just like to muck around and all that. So
muck around, eh? Good. Is it good fun?
Yeah.
Good. What's the best bit of it?
Like going on the train and helping out the passengers.
And two other guys here. What's your name, sir?
My name's Aaron. I came here really because my granddad used to work here as well. So it's just really following the family routine, really.
Mm-hmm. And when you're older, when you leave school, what are you going to do then?
I'd quite like to work on ScotRail.
Doing what?
Just driving the trains, maintenance, anything like that.
And you? Who are you?
James. I just came here because my friend also was going on about it all the time, so I decided to come down and enjoy it.
Is it as good as you think it's going to be?
Yeah.
What's the best part?
I just like doing the cleaning and stuff. It's
not
it's
too
okay.
dirty.
It's not too bad. It's
not too bad,
okay.
though. Okay, guys, I'll come and see you later, but I'll leave you to get off to your cleaning. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. We're in the engine shed, and it's a Saturday morning, a nice bright Saturday morning here, and they're working on Murrayshire behind us. With me now is Bob Batchelor, who's not one of the youngest volunteers, you can see here. It's seen a few years, I would say. But you're interested in the younger members of the society. Now, you're the leader of the youth group. How did that come about?
It came about because when I started volunteering here 3 years ago, I looked at my age and the age of the other volunteers and I thought, this is not sustainable. And I heard that somebody else was setting up a youth group. It was Chris Owen, who used to work here. And I went along to Chris and volunteered to help him. And Chris is a very busy man. So ultimately he said, you can become leader and I'll give you my support. And that is how I became leader of the youth group.
Mm-hmm. Now we should say that while we're talking here, the diesel shunter is coming in just behind us. You can hear it clanging away there. And they're about to pull Murrayshire. There it is, just clicked up to Murrayshire there. And they're going to haul it out of the shed. We'll move slightly down here, just a way to let them get working there. But let me ask you this. Are the youngsters still interested in trains?
They certainly are. Look at them on Thomas. They're all over it like a rash. They're on top of it. They're down the sides of it. If it was over the pit, they would be underneath it as well.
And do you think this is the way forward, actually, for the society to encourage more young people to join?
Well, definitely. As I say, we need more youngsters coming along. And I suppose there is a good chance that a lot of these youngsters will perhaps, as they get a bit older, will perhaps go away from the railways with families and other interests. But hopefully, the skills they learn here will stay with them. And hopefully, they'll come back later.
What do you think of Murrayshire?
Brilliant.
Would you like to drive that one?
Oh yeah, definitely.
As Murrayshire was being hauled out, Timon, another of the group's helpers, gave the youngsters a quick history lesson on the local and answered their questions.
Splendid engine that has just been recently reassembled. And it is a D49 class locomotive, which was designed by Sir Nigel Gresley. And it was built ostensibly as a mixed traffic locomotive. As you could see, it has extremely large driving wheels, and it is also painted in the famous LNER green. Well, certainly got a lot of admirers. As you can see, we've got a lot of people gathered round here who admire it. Heather, yes.
When was it brought to Bowness?
It was saved by the late Ian Fraser. And he had it preserved, and it was bought for the Scottish Museum. And it was brought, first of all, to a place just near South Queensferry, which the name escapes me at the moment. And it was kept there for some considerable time before they were able to bring the locomotive here to Bowness, because we didn't have a proper facility here.
Where else has the Murrayshire been, and what has it been doing?
It has actually been out on rail tours. It did a number of five circle trains some time back in the 1970s, I think it was.
Then it was on to do the cleaning. Number one, an official friend of Thomas, is a tank loco, which means there's not much room for scraping and polishing.
So I'm just going to climb in the underneath this. Bit of their boiler here, and I'm trying to clean the underneath of it. Ah! And I discovered the best way to clean it is you just dab it, and then you wait a bit, and then you wipe off with another cloth. And that seems to clean most of it off.
Right, I've come across onto the footplate of number one here, and Liam and Robert are busy at the firebox. Liam, what are you doing?
We're raking all the ash that's like right at the back of the firebox to the front so we can shovel it out.
Robert, what are you doing with that long thing? What are you doing?
I'm raking the ash to the grate.
it's called.
Do you see what you're doing down there?
Not really. Without the line, I wouldn't be able to see.
Gosh, it looks hard work. Can you manage all right?
Yeah, sort of.
Well, it's now a day out with Thomas, and number one is here.
Yeah.
And with me now is Norman Girvan, who's the fireman?
Driver, sorry. Yeah.
How does it look? They've been working hard, so how does it look?
It's immaculate. Saved us a lot of work this morning. We didn't need to do very much polishing at all. Really excellent.
It looks bright here,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes, it does, yes. We like to have Thomas nice and bright.
Has it been pulling a lot of people?
It has been pulling a lot of people, yes. We've had a lot of visitors, lots of excited children and adults as well, very excited.
So the work of the youth club has been well-deserved?
Well-deserved, and they're helping to explain what goes on in the foot plate as well today. So apart from cleaning, they're helping explain what goes on in the foot plate.
Now, we know this is number one today, but yes. What is the actual history of the engine?
Well, it's a friend of Thomas, and it was built in 1902. Okay. And in Glasgow. So it's a very old locomotive and we're looking after it as carefully as we can.
The group is so popular that there's now a waiting list. But anyone interested should email youthgroup@srps.org.uk. That's all lowercase, of course. youthgroup@srps.org.uk. And that pretty well wraps up this edition of Sound Blast. You can contact us online at www.srps.org.uk/soundblast, all lowercase. That's www.srps.org.uk/soundblast, or you can write to us at Soundblast, two words this time with initial capitals, Soundblast, SRPS, Union Street, Bowness, West Lothian, EH519AQ, Scotland. The tireless roving reporter, editor and producer has been David Bytheway, and I'm Sandy Simpson, wishing you all that you wish yourself from everyone here at the Scottish Railway Preservation Society at Bowness in Scotland.